Welcome to A Word Fitly Spoken, a podcast about Jesus, His Word, and our joy in following Him. I'm Amy Spreeman.
And I'm Michelle Leslie. Well, it's all over social media. Everybody's talking about it, and some churches are even teaching classes on using it. The Enneagram, it's the latest shiny new thing to hit evangelicalism. But is it just a harmless personality test, or is there a more sinister side to this popular fad? Today, we'll be taking a look at the Enneagram and what the Bible has to say about it.
Yes, and we always go right to the Word of God. So compare what we talk about today about the Enneagram and anything else we say on this podcast, take it to Scripture like the Bereans did. Today, Michelle, I thought what we could do is talk about the top seven reasons the Enneagram is not biblical. And we're going to post some things on our website, too, that you can follow along. There's going to be a lot of resources, a lot of good things to look at out there. But the top seven doesn't necessarily mean there are only seven. It means that these are the top that I think you need to know about. So we'll try to get through as many as we can today. And I think it would be good to start with a definition. The Enneagram is from the Greek words ennea, which means the number nine, and gramos, which is a written symbol. So this nine-pointed Enneagram kind of looks like a star, Michelle. It's got 9 points to it. It's shaped with lines, and you can Google it and see what it looks like. And it represents nine distinct strategies for connecting yourself to the rest of the world. So what does this thing do? Well, it helps you classify your personality from among nine different personality types. And you know, the experts say once you find your number, you just look across to find adjacent types to see if you have another wing. Yeah, they call it a wing. So a person may be described, for example, as a type 2 with a wing of an 8. Now, so far, does that sound biblical to you, Michelle?
No, that sounds more like a horoscope or something like that to me.
Yeah, exactly. So here, let's just get right to it. The top seven reasons the Enneagram is unbiblical. And reason number one is that it promises transformation. Now, here's what Wikipedia has to say. It says, the Enneagram is a powerful tool for personal and collective transformation. So let's stop there. Do we want to be transformed by the Enneagram or by the Holy Spirit as He sanctifies you and shapes you into Christ-likeness? Michelle, what's your answer?
You know, I'm a Christian, so I'd really rather be shaped and molded by Christ than by something outside of Christ. So that's where I fall on that. And I think most Christians would probably say the same thing, but you know, sometimes those, like I said before, those shiny new things really catch our attention, don't they?
Well, they really do. And trending right now in sermon archives and, very recent sermon series are things like, what's your number? You know, is the title of a sermon series that somebody sent to me. And this one describes it as, we're all on this unique journey towards self-discovery, but we often forget to look at the world through different perspectives. This series will change the way you see yourself and others as we unpack the nine personality types of the Enneagram. Come be equipped to grow in your relationships and discover who God has shaped you to be. Good grief, Michelle, that is actually a sermon series. So instead of preaching Christ...
Sounds like they're almost blaming it on God, saying God is using this tool to decide what your personality type is like and to sanctify you. I don't see that in the Bible anywhere.
Well, I don't either. And you know, quite frankly, when you get these seeker churches that are doing this, the pastor has, or the whoever's preaching that day, has possibly one shot at a family on any given Sunday to talk about Christ. This may be the one time they come to church. And if you're not preaching Christ and Him crucified and resurrected and what our role is in the full gospel of Christ, I don't know where else they're going to hear it, but they'll certainly hear about themselves and, you know, navel-gazing, that kind of thing.
That's right. I mean, just like you said, they've got one shot. You can get a lot of this other junk, this self-help stuff and this personality inventory stuff. You can get that in the world, but yeah. The church is charged by Christ with dispensing the Word of God and teaching Christians how they are to live and sharing the gospel with unbelievers. And if the church doesn't do it, who will?
Yeah, exactly. Reason number two that the Enneagram is not biblical Christianity, it is a blunder mix of many pagan religions. So from the Enneagram Institute, yes, there actually is one, their experts say that the philosophy behind the Enneagram contains components from mystical Judaism, in other words, Kabbalah, Christianity, and I would put bunny ears or scare quotes around the word Christianity the way they're using it, Islam, Taoism, Buddhism, and ancient Greek philosophy. And if you want to Google it, it's EnneagramInstitute.com. Go wild. Learn what they're saying about it. So in other words, Michelle, it syncretizes different religious beliefs. Never mind that God said we are to have no other gods before me. And then you get this blender cocktail drink that's tasting mighty sweet right now to the evangelical book authors and conference speakers and pastors promoting this in their churches from the pulpit. Crazy stuff. So I don't know about you, Michelle, but whenever something like this comes along, open your Bible and read Galatians or one of the other epistles, and then maybe a few chapters in Acts, and then just try to imagine those Christians who are boldly speaking out about the gospel of Christ to the point of dying for their beliefs, and just imagine if they were following these personality tests to try to find themselves. Really? No. It's preposterous. It's ridiculous, I think. These practices are clearly not something that early Christians were following.
That's so true. And, you know, I would also recommend reading your Old Testament because yes. Syncretism, what we were talking about before, where you're bringing all these other different religions and mysticism and things like this in and mixing it with Christianity. That's kind of what was going on in the Old Testament. That was part of what led God to lead the Israelites and Judah into exile. Yes. So, you know, we want to take a lesson from them and not repeat the same thing that they did. So, read Ezekiel, read your Old Testament and learn from them and avoid that kind of thing.
Yeah, another couple of verses, Deuteronomy 18, verse 9, 12, 14, 1 Samuel 15, 23. I mean, there's a bunch of them in there talking about how God forbids pagan practices. All right, reason number three that the Enneagram is not biblical Christianity is that it is a money-making machine. I tell you, Michelle, people are bringing this into church and selling it to you via popular books, conferences, and many other ways. There's a growing number of books written about how to understand and use it. And just a little bit ago before we started recording, I did this Amazon search and found at least 50 books. There are probably more. You used to be able to find these older versions in bookstores under the New Age, self-help, psychology section. And now we're seeing those creep into the Christian book section. And again, bunny ears around the word Christian if you've ever gone to the Christian bookstore.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll tell you what, it's like I keep saying, there is money to be made in scratching itching ears. And there's not a lot of money to be made in saying, read your Bible, go to church, spend time in prayer, you know, all these things that are free to yes. us. but there's a lot of money to be made in scratching itching ears.
Oh, yes. Oh, well, speaking of scratching itching ears, one of the books that's a bestseller was written by a guy by the name of Richard Rohr. And a lot of Christians are reading him. It was called The Enneagram, A Christian Perspective. And he has got a very strange way of looking at Jesus and Christ as two separate entities, which is extremely unbiblical. Here's a quote from him. Richard Rohr says, quote, "The word Christ means the anointed one, and that anointment by God includes us and all of creation. The Gospels are about the historical Jesus. Paul, however, never talks about that Jesus. He's talking about the Christ. Jesus is the microcosm. Christ is the macrocosm." You know, in all my reading of Scripture, Michelle, I never came across that.
Yeah, I never did either. I mean, we have a saying down here that sometimes people are educated beyond their intelligence, and I think that might be what's going on with him. I mean, yeah. Jesus was who he was, and he was all, you know, all one being, and yes. That's just crazy.
Crazy is a good way to describe Richard Rohr. Definitely not a Christian leader we should be looking to. All right, reason number four that the Enneagram is not biblical It has very occultic origins. If you're ever asking, well, where did the Enneagram come from? Okay, bear with me here because there's some names in history that I'll probably slaughter. So those who are proponents of the Enneagram do call this an ancient practice, but it really isn't. They attribute it to the so-called desert fathers or Catholic monks who, by the way, those guys would deprive their bodies of nutrients or harm themselves until they reached this mystical state of consciousness. So they'd whip themselves up and then they'd get these visions that many in their church follow to this day, not scriptural folks. Kabbalists, Sufis, mystics, other groups all claim an ancient origin, but that's never been substantiated. The earliest mention of the Enneagram really in history is found in the writings of a Russian occultist, and his name was P.D. Ouspensky, and he was starting to come up with the Enneagram in the 1920s. And he attributes his learnings to his own teacher, the Greek-American occultist Georges I. Gurdjieff, and you'll say Gesundheit, I know, but well, in the South they say bless you, I think, but anyway, Gurdjieff considered the Enneagram a symbol of the cosmos, and at that time it had no connection with it to personality types when it first came around. So Gurdjieff's method for awakening one's consciousness comes with the from the pagans, the fakir, the monk, and the yogi, where we get our yoga, by the way. Christian yoga is an oxymoron. There's no such thing. And so later on, if you're wondering where the personality part came in, another occultist named Oscar Ichazo, again, I'm probably not pronouncing it right, but he first connected the Enneagram to personality, and he claimed to have discovered the personality type meaning of the Enneagram when, get this, it was taught to him by the Archangel Metatron, I think he's calling this Archangel. I'd never heard of this Archangel, never appeared in scripture anyway. And by the way, when this allegedly happened and this archangel was teaching this, this Oscar guy was high on mescaline. And so, yeah, you can just imagine where these personality types that were contrived in a state of being high. So, you know, for this point, I want to just point you to some excellent material on a website called Cana by Marcia Montenegro. Christian Answers for the New Age is her acronym there. And she has many articles and videos on the Enneagram and its history. So we're going to link her up in the resources.
I'm so glad you did all that research. And you're right, I have looked at a lot of Marcia's stuff, and she posts, I think she mostly posts stuff on her Facebook page, at least a lot of times she does. And she has stuff about the Enneagram just every day practically. And she really does her research too. And it's really important to do your research on things like this. I mean, we're such suckers for just the latest thing that comes out, and people just take these things at face value and they don't do their research, and they have no idea that this stuff is coming out of paganism and mysticism and, would you say, peyote that he was high on or something?
Mescaline.
And you know, he's seeing angels like Joseph Smith did, and you know, it sounds like it's just a great big stew of a whole bunch of pagan heathen stuff, you know. And as Christians, we don't need to be messing around with that junk, you know. Right. Who cares if it's fun? Who cares if it, you know, everybody else is doing it? We need to be making sure that what we are doing, as far as our Christian walk, as far as the way we live, the worldview that we have, the things that we take part in, those things need to be based in scripture. I mean, I'm not sure if this is the right way to say it or not, but we don't have the luxury like the world does of just taking in whatever sounds good. We are supposed to be obeying our masters, our master. We are slaves of Christ, and we are to do and think and say and believe what he tells us to do and think and say and believe. And the only place we can find that is in the Bible, not with these things like the Enneagram. So yeah, I appreciate you doing all that research.
Well, you know what? There's more to this that we're just barely scratching the surface here. This is just kind of a 30,000 foot look at what this actually is. And it's not good even from way up here.
Right.
But once you dive into it, it's even scarier. But, you know, Christians will link this to somehow being of God. And that brings us to point number five, why the Enneagram is not biblical. And that is that Christians claim it can bring you closer to God, But, all right, for this point, you know, we know that the gospel is our invitation to be reconciled to God through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? So scripture says to put off your old self and put away or put on the new self created after the likeness of God. But, you know, you get these folks, like I'm gonna quote an unrecommended source here. A writer and therapist, Katie Jo Ramsey, writes for Relevant Magazine. Again, not one that you should be reading. But she has to say in her article how the Enneagram can point you to God. And she says, quote, "The Enneagram is a guide to receiving the transforming presence of Christ in the exact places that sin and wounds make us fall short of the glory of God." And she goes on to say, put simply, the Enneagram makes sanctification specific by giving us a roadmap to where we most need God's healing. So instead of being at odds with God's word, the Enneagram propels us to heed scripture and be connected to its author. Okay, Michelle, isn't that what the Holy Spirit does?
Did she quote any Bible verses to back up anything that she was saying? Because I don't know that the Enneagram is not in the Bible, you know, and she's saying that this is the means to bring you through your sanctification and bring you closer to Christ. That's just ridiculous. That is not what the Bible says. And I'm sure you could see me on the, when Amy and I record, we have video going, and I'm sure she could just see me, you know, cringing and losing my mind over here while she was reading that. But that is not what scripture says. We right. don't take something from outside of scripture and crush it and mash it and mangle it into what we think is Christian. We don't do that. We take scripture and we read out of scripture and we do what scripture says. We don't add in all these other things and try to make what we want to do fit with scripture. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, point number six about why the Enneagram is not biblical hits right to the heart of kind of the world that I came from in biblical Christianity. Unfortunately, point number six is personality tests are what the world uses to glorify self. And so, again, it's navel gazing. It's, we've got the Myers-Briggs test, the biorhythms that we had in the 70s, the color wheel. What color is your parachute? The Strength Finder 2.0. Our former church did that one. And we did it from the pulpit too. So like Myers-Briggs and astrological signs, the Enneagram allows us to convey a significant amount of information about our personalities in a very compact way for people to speak the same cultural code. That's what they say. But really, when you think about it, Michelle, once we read the descriptions of these categories, we can easily see ourselves in any of them. I mean, how many times have you cracked open that fortune cookie with a vague message and thought, aha, this Chinese fortune cookie really gets me? Well, that's called the Barnum effect. So that's a psychological phenomenon that occurs when we believe that personality descriptions apply specifically to us more so than to other people, despite the fact that the descriptions really are actually filled with information that applies to almost all of us when you read these things.
It's almost, you know, I mentioned horoscopes a few minutes ago. It's the same way with horoscopes. They, you know, you open up the paper and read it. Well, I don't, but other people, you can open up the paper and read it, and it could apply to just about anybody. And you know what else I was just thinking as you were talking about that? Mm-hmm. It's a lot like these prophecies that we see these false prophets giving of just these very vague and nebulous and, you know, you're going to have a wonderful day today type of thing that could apply to anybody. And you could interpret anything that happens after that prophecy, you could interpret it as a fulfillment of that prophecy. So right. I wonder maybe if all these things have the same source, you know, their original root source that they're coming from.
Well, I kind of can guess what that source might be, because you know that the devil himself comes to lie and cheat, and he's murderous, and he wants That's to right. murder truth. He wants to lead us away from the truth. And what a great way to do it, by setting our hearts of the things of this world. Boy, you know, those false prophecies too, they're so vague that you can't possibly hold them up to scripture because, you know, either they haven't happened yet or you can kind of sort of see that maybe, oh, that news story right. actually kind of fits. So yeah, that's, you're exactly right, Michelle. That's so true. I'm going to get to my last point, the Enneagram, point number 7, why the Enneagram is not biblical. Well, it's a worldly humanism that's opposite of what God's word teaches. This is the top one because, you know, the Bible commands the Christian to set their hearts and minds on things above, not on earthly things. So we know the Enneagram is an earthly thing. And we are to put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. So, you know, we need to really think about that the Enneagram is actually human psychology. And it's perpetuated this idea that people are not sinners who need a savior, but we're all victims with unmet needs. So we require the setting of boundaries, right? So we don't get hurt again. That's not biblical Christianity. You know, this victimization thing began as early as in the womb, they say. So we can go back in time and find out what that is. And really what this does is removes all personal responsibility for one's problems because the cause is rooted in this deep past rather than our inherited sin nature.
Right. And it really, it just, and I think you've touched on this a lot, it takes our focus off of Christ and off of his word, which is where our focus as Christians is supposed to be. And a lot of these fads that come out, you know, the things that we chase after because they're oh so exciting and new and everybody on social media is doing them or whatever, they not only take our eyes off of Christ and his word, which is where it's supposed to be, but a lot of them, including the Enneagram, put our focus back on us,
yeah.
our personalities, what we like, what we don't like, what we, you know, our, how we feel, our personalities and whatnot. And I've seen, you know, I've seen a lot of this in women's Bible studies lately, that women's Bible studies are putting the focus back on me. How do I feel? What do I think my, you know, what is my opinion on this, that, or the other, instead of focusing on the word. And really what we need is the word. We don't need these things that are going to teach us to focus on ourselves. We need to be focused on Christ. We need to be focused on serving others and serving our churches, serving our families. You know, it's almost like the little idea that's going around these days where people say, you know, you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself, but you can't love your neighbor until you really, truly love yourself.
Yes.
And that's not what scripture teaches us. Scripture teaches us that we already love ourselves way, way, way too much. And so our love is to be for other people and for Christ and to focus on that, not to focus on ourselves. So I want to especially encourage the ladies who are listening, don't just run after every little fad that comes out from Christian retailing or, you know, your favorite Bible teacher or whatever. Stay in the word, do the work of sanctification. Well, Christ does the work of sanctification in our hearts, but do the things that are in cooperation with that. Read your Bible every day. Pray every day. Be in a good, solid, doctrinally sound church. We just did a recent episode about that. You can go back and listen to that if you want to. Mm-hmm. And it's just the day by day, daily bread of abiding in Christ is what we're supposed to do. There's no quick fix. There's no magic pill that'll sanctify you faster or get you closer to Jesus, except for what he has prescribed to do in his word. And what he has prescribed for us to do in his word is what I've just said. Be in the word, abide in Christ, be in prayer, be a faithful, active member of your local church. And that's what he has prescribed for us to do. There are no shortcuts. And I think that's just a lot of times what these fads are, is they're just, we see them as shortcuts to sanctification. And we don't need these things. You know, if we needed the Enneagram, it would be in the Bible. The Bible is sufficient for us. People haven't needed the Enneagram for 2,000 years, up until now or up until whenever it was invented. We didn't see Paul using it or Peter or anybody like that. And we don't need it. We don't need this stuff. We need to do what God has already told us to do in his word. And that is sufficient. when we chase after these things, we're saying the Bible's not enough. I need something in addition to the Bible. And that is not the kind of attitude that we ought to be having as Christians, where God's word is supposed to be sufficient for us.
Oh, amen. And I've actually seen sermon series, and you know, people have been sending them to me, where we're now trying to guess what number Paul and Peter and,
oh,
and these guys were. Yeah. So what Enneagram number are they, do you think? You know, and but to your point of what, you know, what Bible studies for women are teaching, what does this verse mean to you? We need to just kind of stop and move that period back to, what does this verse mean by what scripture says? And so, you know, use those side notes on your Bible. There's always scriptural references where you can really dig in. And our hope for you is that you just get lost in scripture, that you find as much joy in God's word to you as you do in anything else worldly. Because how cool is it when you just get lost in that, the word of God, and you're searching all over the place for truth, and you're finding it, and the Holy Spirit is opening your eyes. That is so exciting, and much more exciting than any of these quick fixes that are out there. So, ladies, again, instead of getting caught up in the latest cultural fad, we really do have to compare everything against the word of God, because it really does provide everything that we need for life and godliness. And we have the helper, the Holy Spirit, who convicts us and guides us in all truth through his word. So remember, ladies, Christians are commanded to separate themselves from evil. And Michelle and I both agree that the Enneagram comes from a very bad place, and it is evil. It really is. Anything that's against God's word is not of God, and therefore is of the evil one. So that's our thought for today. Any other concluding thoughts, Michelle, on this?
I would just say, listen to what Amy just said. You know, scripture is sufficient. Be in scripture, do what scripture says. And as we close out, don't forget you can find us on our website at awordfitlyspoken.life, and you can listen to us on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Google Play.
Hooray, lots of different options. So that'll do it for this episode of A Word Fitly Spoken. And until next time, walk worthy.